Shopify grows your business no matter how far or big you grow. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling your fans' next favorite shirt or an exclusive piece of podcast merch, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/income, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/income now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in.
This is Nintendo Dad's After Dark. I didn't realize that this music was going to be so sensual, but that's okay. You asked for it, and it is back. Nintendo Dad's After Dark. We are here. If you don't know by this music, we're here to talk about Doctor Strange. It's only been out for a month, right? We're a little late, but Doctor Strange is out, and as we have with all the Marvel movies. Specifically the MCU movies. We're here to talk about it. Of course, I'm Zach Erickson. It's Justin Masson.
Yo, yo, yo.
And Jesse Waldack.
Yo.
And Marty Estes as well. What's going on, guys?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm sorry if that was inappropriate, but I mean, you had said After Dark, so.
Yeah. No, I think it's good. You know, I got excited. I don't know about everybody else, but so we're here to talk about Doctor Strange. I actually, part of the reason why we probably haven't done this until now is I didn't even see it until last night, which for me, not seeing an MCU movie until like a month after its release was kind of a big deal. So I'm glad I finally got to go to it. And this was a movie that was kind of weird, right? Like weird in that it not since Thor was there like this sort of weird disconnect with the magical side of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. But I don't know. You guys, has everybody else has seen it, obviously.
Yeah.
How do you guys feel about Marty, let's start with you. How are you feeling about Doctor Strange and how it sits? I mean, it did come immediately after Civil War, which I don't know if we've really talked about how you felt about that either.
I feel like that's a hard slot to be in. It's not, and I'll say not fair, I think, to this movie, because there is so much expectation of, you know, what's next after Civil War. And then you get the first Marvel or MCU movie out of the gate is a C-list, Marvel character. I say C-list with a grimace because I don't know how many people will want to crucify me for that. But I loved this movie, but I went into it with very little expectation. And I think that may be why I loved it. And not because it was a bad movie at all. I thought it was in fact, this movie featured my favorite fight scenes from the Marvel Cinematic Universe so far.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
But the just kind of not like I remember watching Iron Man 3 and being so hyped for it and being so excited about and coming away disappointed. And so after that, I kind of have tempered, unless it was like the big dogs, like Avengers or Age of Ultron or Civil War. Unless it was something like that, I've kind of tempered my especially like, I remember watching Ant-Man, and I don't miss them in the theaters or see them a month late, but I missed Ant-Man completely. But then I rented it and fell in love with it. It's one of my favorite Marvel Cinematic Universe movies. Mm-hmm. So, but I kind of went into this with no expectation and was very pleasantly surprised.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm going to put an unpopular opinion out there. In retrospect, I actually don't know how big of a fan I am. I like Civil War for what it was, but, mm-hmm. and I think I've said this before, with regard to any of the ensemble Marvel movies, with Avengers and Civil War, Guardians is different. I don't put Guardians in the same category, but the Avengers movies and Civil War, I really do not like them as much as I like the individual character driven movies. Like Civil War, I would not put in my top. Out of all of them, I there are several that I would put above it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Because especially Civil War, I think, kind of forgot that a superhero movie is supposed to be inherently optimistic. And it really was like borderline depressing a lot of the time, which is not really what I like my superhero movies to be. But that's more of my preference. I didn't get that out of Civil War, but it ended up being a lot more, and I think intentionally it became a lot more of a political sort of thing.
I bet you didn't get it out of Superman v. Batman v. Superman.
Yeah, you know, exactly. Yeah. I didn't, for similar reasons, right? Like I really like my superhero movies to be optimistic.
At least that movie, you kind of knew what you were going to be getting into based how Man of Steel went. Yeah. So that shouldn't have been a surprise.
Right. But I mean, like,
we're still following, you know, the Civil War is following up the Avengers and other movies that were high spirited. And yeah, I agree that it did kind of turn south a little bit, in that department.
Yeah. And I think that's why I'm so excited about next year. With Marvel, and we'll get back to Doctor Strange in a minute, but looking at the Guardian Spider-Man, which I think there's a trailer coming out tomorrow for that, and Guardians of the Galaxy 2, which we just saw a new trailer, which was one of the best trailers I think I've seen for a movie in a long time, right? It just got me so excited for that movie. I'm really looking forward to that. So, yeah, I think that that there is an important element of optimism and aspiration to a superhero movie that that Civil War really lacked, I think. And you saw moments of it, especially in the scenes with Spider-Man, early on. Like that apartment scene with Spider-Man, I think, had just the right amount of that aspirational sort of tone that I really like, and that I think Spider-Man is more than just about anything really, really good for that. But but as for Doctor Strange, I feel like I'm still kind of processing and thinking about how I feel about it, because it's good. I guess starting with the positives, I would say the visual style, it was just incredible. Like, this is a movie that if you haven't seen it in theaters yet, what are you doing? Go see it in 3D, because that is the only way to see this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's so like, especially like that first scene where she blows his mind, right?
Literally.
Right. Where it's just like probably like some of the best, the best sequence in cinema that I've seen in a really long time. Just like, what is going on? I don't even how did you even conceptualize this? Like, how did people storyboard this? How did people create this in a computer? Like, that's how mind bending it was to me. So I don't know. What do you guys think, Justin? How did you feel about all of that?
You know, I think the first thing is, I think the setting was just so well placed. I think the atmosphere and the tone helped bring in the eerie creepiness that we're looking for. I thought I was really curious, like, where did 11 come from? What happened to Nancy, and why were we in the upside down world? And I mean, I just binge watched it over the entire weekend. So, yeah, I mean, I love Stranger Things.
We're
talking about Stranger Things, right?
Yeah, no, not even close.
What are we talking about?
Doctor Strange.
Oh, Doctor Strange. I my headset keeps coming in and out. I didn't hear the doctor. Oh, Doctor Strange, the Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah.
I thought it was really fantastic, actually. I said earlier that I wasn't super hyped for this one. And to be honest, like I went to the movie theater by myself and saw it. That's a lonely experience all by itself. It was in Kansas City. I went to the Alamo Draft House, which is quite an amazing experience. Other than the fact that their toilets backed up and it stunk, but that's something completely different.
Welcome to downtown.
I was pleasantly surprised by this. I thought they did a really great job. Like it definitely feels like Marvel is turning to their next chapter in their MCU. And I thought, to your point, the special effects in this are amazing. I did not see this in 3D. I regret not seeing it in 3D. Mm-hmm. I really wish I had, but I mean, so just tremendous special effects. You know, it was kind of I mean, of course you've got to go through tell a story of how you got here. Some, you know, the origin story. So you're able to introduce some thin characters, but it felt very at home in the Marvel universe. I actually think they made a stronger case for Doctor Strange than some of the other characters. I mean, this Doctor Strange feels more at home than Ant-Man does within their universe. Now, I know they're all in that universe, but they did something about just kind of like really kind of kneading it into the fabric of the MCU that I thought was fantastic. I thought Benedict Cumberbatch did a great job. I thought the villain was a touch weak at times. But again, I mean, if you go back to a really good kind of mind bending, special effects driven superhero film, I thought they did a tremendous job, and I'm very excited. I wasn't really digging Thor Ragnarok thing. I was like, okay, sure. I'm not a huge fan of either Thor or the Hulk kind of team up that they're going to be doing, but once we kind of insert Doctor Strange in there, I think that could be really something interesting to watch.
Do you think he's going to play a big role in that?
Sorry?
Do you think he's going to play a big role in Thor Ragnarok, or is he just like is he just literally the version of like how Thor gets back to Asgard this time?
Yeah, I don't really I don't know. I think he hasn't I think there's enough star power behind him that I think he can be there for 5 to 10 minutes and everyone's happy.
Yeah.
Right? And then moving on.
He's like the equivalent of having the Falcon in Ant-Man or something like that.
Yeah, I think so. Like it's, you know, he just kind of brings it together a little bit more. So yeah, I thought it was really quite good.
What were you going to say, Marty?
I was just thinking, you know, as I watched this movie, I've only been to see it once, but I was thinking more toward the end about how this was not a movie that could have been made during phase one of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah.
And really, I don't know that it could have been made in season two or phase two leading up to Age of Ultron. I think up until now, Marvel's biggest risk has been Guardians of the Galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
Because those are characters that nobody really knew of lots of people didn't really know of until that movie came out. I mean, you ask most people out on the street, you know, who is a Marvel character? They can name you Captain America, Iron Man, Thor, Hulk, Spider-Man, but Star-Lord or Gamora, Drax?
Probably not. You know what though? Like you ask my kids, you show my kids a picture of Rocket Raccoon and Groot. They know exactly who that is.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and that's why I love Guardians so much, was because it was such a pleasant surprise. Because I went in going, oh, please don't do this, Marvel. You're going to blow yourself up with this. But then the more and more I saw of it, I thought, hey, you know, this is really good. I kind of lump Doctor Strange in with the Thor And I'm glad that he's going to be in Thor Ragnarok, because I kind of lumped this movie in with those, you know.
Yep.
Thor 1 and Thor 2 kind of take you in a complete, I mean, like, compare Iron Man to Thor, those movie series.
Yeah.
It's all part of the same world, but such a totally different way of looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
And
Thor and Doctor Strange are so much more mystical and magical based, right? Yeah.
Right.
I think that's a connective tissue.
And I think what's interesting is with that too, is even connecting it to the end of Ant-Man, I think is another, and like, I can see them, the microverse aspect there, you know, with the,
right.
There's that piece there. And also the cosmic Guardians piece there, like Doctor Strange is almost the cornerstone, and kind of is like, you know, you drop him in and suddenly everything else kind of just slides into place a little bit better. I think it's really interesting that way.
I think this is one of those movies in this whole run of movies that like, there's going to be things that from this that get picked up later on in other movies, and you're going to go, oh yeah, you know, how it all kind of ties together.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like we did with the Tesseract in phase one, you know. It's like, oh, that's that thing that they've been showing at the end of every movie. That's why it's important. There's going to be something from this, and it may even be Strange himself, you know, when we get to, the Infinity War.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because he has a hand in bringing all them together or to fight Thanos.
Yeah. And I think because we do know now that the Eye of Agamotto is the time stone of the Infinity Stones now. So what is the one that we are missing? There's Reality Stone or something like, no, that's the Ether. I don't know. Yeah. There's one stone that's missing basically at this point. Mm. And so sorry, go ahead.
Speaking of how, you know, there's that scene near, and again, this is spoiler cast. If you haven't seen the show, you know, he's spoiled, stop listening, right? But how he dealt with the big bad,
villain
at the end, with that time loop, was freaking brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah.
I stuff like that, and it was comical too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one thing that I, you know, with the element of time in this movie, it's funny because it, like, you not just like time travel, and we'll get to that, but apparently this movie takes place over the course of something like a year, and I feel like the movie could have done better at giving a little bit more of a sense of the passage of time. Like, they have this sort of montage of now I'm studying. I'm getting smarter and whatever. And it was unclear. Has he been at this monastery for 2 weeks or 2 months or six months, or, you know what I mean? Like, by the end of it, I felt like, wow, that happened really fast, but no, it's actually over the course of a really long period of time. They could have done better at portraying that, I think.
Yeah. And I'll agree with that. There's that thing in the very beginning of the movie where they kind of tie it to Stark. You know, I think it was. It's been a while since I've seen it. There's a way that they tie it into the rest of the movies, but it's kind of like, how does this all fit together? You know, they don't give you a whole lot of ways that fits.
Yeah, he's driving on the highway and he's in his car.
Yep.
He's taking a phone call, and they mention that there is a guy who's in a metal suit that fell from the sky. Seems like he's just broken his back or something like that.
That's like Rhodey.
If he take the work, and he's referring to Rhodey.
Okay, yeah. So yeah, that's Rhodey. But if you go back and you remember, a while ago, Doctor Strange was already mentioned in the other movies before.
Yeah.
He was mentioned
in Winter Soldier.
Right. Yep.
Yeah. And so I think it is possible that he's still, you know, like, cause he is kind of like a hotshot surgeon and stuff like that. But it does seem like the kind of thing that they threw in as an Easter egg for people. And without really thinking, okay, well, now we've got to deliver on that. Maybe this movie does take place maybe this movie takes place before that, and they're just kind of filling in the background and the gaps, right? So that's another possibility. Yeah, but it's just interesting how, kind of going into that time travel piece though, like it was really cool, but also it felt like, whoa, we're getting into like serious power creep territory here. Like, what can he not do? Which is, to be fair, what he's like in the comic books too, right? Like just so like powerful in that there's a spell for everything. So, but I did really like that time travel loop piece. I thought it was really, really clever. So, another thing as well that I really liked, and again, maybe this is more my therapist side coming out, you know, the sort of, but I love in these movies when they take the time to slow down and kind of explore some of those softer emotional pieces or moments, you know, like the moment with Tilda Swinton as the Ancient One, you know, kind of as she's like, what, like a really interesting character. And as she's, and really towards that, you know, when she's that moment right before she, again, spoilers, everybody, before she dies, that scene, especially in 3D, again, this is a great movie in 3D because that whole thing where it's snowing and like the lightning in the background and that whole scene is just, I really, really appreciated that scene. And that is, you don't get those kinds of scenes in the big ensemble movies. And I think that that's why I really like the more character driven movies better, is because they have the time to slow down and have those more sentimental, intimate moments between characters. So, how did you guys feel about some of the other supporting characters? Is there anybody else that you really liked or that stood out?
Wong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wong was really good.
Yeah. I like the interaction between Steven and Wong, and Steven just trying to poke fun at him, and Wong's just kind of taking it, you know, about having a single name. Oh, like blah, blah, blah.
Like Beyonce. And,
yeah.
Then he's like listening to it later.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good. Interesting. The what's his name? The clear villain in the sequel, Mordo.
Mordo. Yeah, that confused me because, you know, the comic book origin of Doctor Strange had Mordo in the role of the guy who turns against the clan, I guess, and tries to summon Dormammu. But in this movie, he kind of took a back seat. Someone else did that. But he, as the movie progressed, you can see Mordo's personality and way of thinking change to definitely he will be the villain of the next movie. So it makes me wonder what are they going to do with him then?
Well, Marvel's with Mordo, they're trying to address the biggest criticism that's kind of come out of their movies for a while, which is you always kill your villain.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, Caecilius is still out there in some ways. I mean, he's in the dimension where Dormammu is, but they can always come back. And this is the first Marvel movie, really, that has a good guy becoming a bad guy,
mm-hmm.
if you think about it. So you not only do you have this strange, for lack of a better term, get it? You have this strange movie with these weird supernatural / spiritual / psychological concepts going on, but you also, they break convention that way. They also break convention in the villain survives, and they also break convention and they turn a hero into a villain.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I appreciated the kind of not that it was all that deep or all that involved. I think this was kind of a thinking man's Marvel movie. There's a lot to wrestle with, you know, and process afterwards, like you were saying. That was a good phrase, processing it.
Yeah.
There's some heavy stuff in the whole thing.
The one Marvel I guess, trope is that that the movie still is falling in is the villain is basically similar powers as the hero.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, it, I like the stories where the villain is something completely different and the hero's got to think of another way other than his normal method of approach to win the day.
And I really did like that. The fact that it's like, you know what? It's this is not like there is some fighty in this movie, but ultimately the day is won because of his ability to, you know, because he triumphs because of his wit and because he knows, you know, his book smarts and his ability to know the right spell and have the right strategy at that, the right moment and not have it just be, I punched him until he stopped fighting, which has been the third act of almost every Marvel movie. Right. So like, I really did appreciate that a lot. I also appreciated, the magic carpet in this movie, which is exact like the character quote unquote of the cape, the cloak of levitation, just was constantly reminding me of the magic carpet from Aladdin. I don't know why. I don't think it was quite as, it was almost a little bit too slapsticky at times, but it was an interesting way of portraying that the magical relic. And I liked the idea that they kind of introduced the idea of magical relics before having this cloak appear. It gave a little more context.
And that they specified that the relics chose this owner, not the other way around.
Right.
Before he sees it, before he gets his gear, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to disagree with you. I believe that it was a perfect balance to the tension that was building through Doctor Strange, and that you needed that counter juxtaposition point. And for a character that said no words at all, I thought they did a great job in relieving that tension.
Yeah. Again, I feel like there was just a couple of times that it was a bit too much, but Marvel has really, you know, added a lot to the blockbuster formula, for lack of a better word, by adding a lot more humor. And sometimes, if not done quite right, it can diffuse and kind of cheapen a really powerful moment. And there was a couple of times there where it was like, oh, this is a really cool moment. And here's the cape that maybe came in a second or two too early or outstayed its welcome or was a little bit more, the joke could have been more subtle and had a little bit more oomph to it, I guess. But yeah, that's kind of where I'm at with that. Still liked it. Still think it's cool. And the look in general is awesome. Just the look of the cape and his whole outfit. And I really liked how his outfit was very natural. There was no moment of like, oh, now he dons his costume, right? Like, this is just his natural sort of garb that he wears when he's at the monastery. And now I've got this cloak and he just kind of happens to put the Eye of Agamotto on and he's wearing it around. But, there was no sort of like suit up moment. It was a lot more natural than that. And I thought that was good.
I appreciated that too.
Yeah.
Because there's been a lot of these, MCU movies that have been about the suit.
Yeah.
There's that moment of, hey, you need to go get your suit on, you know, Captain America, your suit's in the back there. That was actually a line in Avengers.
Yeah.
And Iron Man is a movie about a suit.
Yeah. And even Thor, right? Like Thor, like holds his hammer up in the little mesh, the male, sort of arms, like kind of clink into place and his cape flows into place, all that sort of stuff. Vision, same thing, right? Like, and for this to very much,
I personally loved Vision suit, that nice V-neck collar sweater, man, that's fantastic stuff.
Yeah. But, it was nice to have it just be a natural, thing that just sort of happened. And that it wasn't this overly drawn out process for sure. So basically what we've got coming up next is, what do we got next? And we've got Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Has everybody seen the Guardians trailer, by the way?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Seriously, I've watched it probably five times and I could watch it.
That's not the teaser, right? It's the one where...
The one with Mantis at the end?
Yes.
Yeah.
I've seen it.
Yeah, so
like
good.
Where Rocket's talking to Baby Groot about what not to do with this device.
Yeah.
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 Out of all of them, I don't know why, but I think Drax is my favorite. Just because he's so literal.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And at the end of that trailer too, like he's just so good. And you know, the thing that's great about that too is that Dave Bautista, when he got the role for the original movie, he was so excited and suddenly like insanely scared because he's a wrestler, right? Like he's
right.
And he went and got acting lessons after he got the part because he was so worried about it. And now like looking at him now, kind of he's ironic, so good.
If you're a wrestler, you would think you'd have a little bit of acting chops.
But for him to like specifically to have the sort of dramatic range, you know, and like his comedic timing is just awesome. And his, especially like in this trailer, like the expression that he's able to do, it's just so good.
That grin that spreads across his face when he just laughs, he just busts out laughing.
Yeah.
So good.
Do you see that there was an awesome meme on Facebook that I took a picture of somebody before and after, I told them they're beautiful. And then like the last one is, the last one is Drax. Oh man. So good.
The thing about it is that he was the best part of the teaser trailer to me too.
Yeah. Yeah.
What you need to do is find someone just as pathetic as you are.
Oh, so good. And then,
So we've got that coming up, and then we've got Spider-Man Homecoming trailer comes out tomorrow.
Yeah.
And there were like a little teaser gif of that out earlier today where with the web wings and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Oh
yeah. That's going to be good. And Jon Favreau's back, dude. I'm excited for Jon Favreau to be back. Because he is, I think that he's going to be a really good addition to that movie.
Yeah, one of the comics YouTube channels I subscribe to had footage of Comic-Con in Brazil or somewhere off country, where they had like 10 seconds of footage of Favreau talking to Peter, just kind of like, why are you wearing that?
Yeah, and he's wearing like a hoodie, like a Spider-Man hoodie.
Yeah, and he's like, "What do you mean? Like, didn't you get the box? What box? This box? Go check the box." And then, a little sign that says a minor upgrade. From TS.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm really interested in how they're going to do the Vulture.
Yeah.
In that movie.
That movie is, I'm really excited for that movie. I'm not sure, like, I don't know if I've said this before, but my favorite comic book series, the one that I got sucked into more than just about anything else, was Ultimate Spider-Man, the original Bendis and Bagley run of Ultimate Spider-Man, is so good. And I really get the sense that they're going to do that high school Peter Parker really well. And that's what I'm most interested in. I hope that they, you know, that there's been some cool shots that I've seen, like set shots of the Shocker's outfit that, that looks like a real cool mix between Ultimate Shocker and sort of classic Shocker. But you're right. Yeah. Like what is the Vulture going to look like? And specifically, like what is the tech? Like, how is his tech different in a world where Tony Stark exists and a world where the Falcon exists? How does the Vulture, how is the Vulture different from both of those and stand out and be unique?
What I really hope they don't do is go the route that they did with the Rhino in Amazing Spider-Man 2. I love that. You know, there's these movies out there, but I feel like, you know, you've got a universe where you have a guy who can, you know, do anything, Doctor Strange, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So why would there not be an old man who is preserving his life by stealing the life of other people? Why would he need a robot suit to fly around? You know,
yeah. I don't know
a lot about the whole who the Vulture is and all those characters. I mean, I'm familiar enough with it because I love Spider-Man when I was super into comics. That was my thing. But you know, like a lot of these comic series, they feel like they have to make it like too robotic or too alien.
Yeah.
Like what's going on with Power Rangers right now? I don't know if you've seen the images coming out of that movie. Awful.
I'm the one who's taken the unpopular idea, and I think they're looking kind of interesting. You know, it'll be more interesting to see what they once we actually see them moving. So far, all we've seen are stills, and that's always been an issue, even with games and movies, that the stills may not give us justice of what the final product is once we see it moving.
Yeah,
but I'm actually looking forward to that, to the Power Rangers movie, and seeing what they do with it.
Yeah,
I am pumped for Rogue One next week.
Is that next? Oh, that's next week.
Yep, I've already got my ticket for Thursday night.
Me too.
Me too.
I don't. I probably should.
Yeah, well, you'll probably see it in like March of next year.
Probably. I'm not.
and then you'll want to do an episode.
This
about
is
it.
Not a surprise. This should not be a surprise to everybody. Is that I actually I don't know what it is. I am sure it's just a fault in me, but I don't get as excited about Star Wars as everybody else seems to. It just doesn't, like, I enjoy it. I really liked Force Awakens, but I'm not like, I get much more excited about like Marvel movies than Star Wars movies generally. And so that's kind of where I'm at with that right now, where I'm like, oh yeah, it's going to be good and I'll see it, but I don't know. We'll see. I'll see it, but I don't know. I'm feeling judgment. This silence is
no, I'm trying to figure out how to process that comment. Kind of like the Donkey Kong Country comment I dropped earlier. I think the hype level for me for The Force Awakens was, I don't know that I can compare it to a Marvel movie. I don't know that there's been a movie of that franchise or that series so far that I've been so hyped up about that's been that big a deal.
I think The Force Awakens, I would agree, actually, The Force Awakens is a different case, right? Because it was it was episode 7. But Rogue One, I'm like, it's another Star Wars movie, yes, sure. But I'm like, okay.
Not even Vader does that.
Doctor Strange, it's just another Marvel movie.
No, keeping in mind that my hype level for Doctor Strange is not representative of, like, if I had a choice between go see another Guardians of the Galaxy movie and go see another Star Wars movie, Guardians every time for me. No question. So that is, and I think that part of it is the, I don't know what it is. Different strokes, I guess. I don't know. but yeah. So, yeah. Anything else as we're kind of thinking this? I know we were going to talk about our survey. I think we can wait for the survey because
we can wait.
It's late. We'll talk about the survey a different time. But hopefully everybody liked this. Any other thoughts about Doctor Strange? Just kind of around the horn and about.
Go see it if you haven't.
Yeah, go see it in 3D for goodness sakes. With it being out this late, if you haven't seen it yet, you probably don't have a chance to see it in 2D because they want to squeeze every dollar out of you. So they will only show it in 3D. So go and see it in 3D. It's worth it to see it in 3D because of all the mind bending stuff. So
yeah, I still want to see it again before it goes out of theaters.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really good. Definitely recommend it. So, all right. Well, hey, I'm going to find some where am I doing this right here? Sure, we'll get some music going as we figure this out. Sure. All right. Well, anyways, everybody, thanks for listening. If you want to follow us on Twitter at Nintendo Dads, that's on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever. Check us out on VGTribune.com. Subscribe on iTunes. Change the world with reviews. And we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Nintendo Dads.
Our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hannah Baby. Introducing a new collection, Hannah Soft, made with Tencel. It's so breathable, with stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hannah quality for your most precious gift. Hannah Soft, made to last. Shop now at hannahanderson.com.